Tonight we will be studying Ezekiel chapters 34 and 35 as we continue to make our way through the Bible. And so we encourage you to read over these two chapters and then join with us tonight at 7 o'clock as we gather to study the Word and to continue through the Bible. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, looking especially at verses 23 and 24, as God is promising a true shepherd who he would send to watch over the flock. Verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." I love it whenever God says, "I have spoken it." Just, it's that kind of word of authority that you can just sort of rest in confidence. All right, you know, it's going to happen. It has to happen, because he has spoken it. Now, as you go back in the 34th chapter, you will find that this chapter is actually addressed to the shepherds of Israel who were faithless shepherds. Now, the shepherds were the rulers over the people. Those men who were ruling in the land of Israel, and it of course, can apply to men who are ruling over the souls of people. Those spiritual leaders of the people, as well as just the rulers of the land. Now, in a very literal understanding of the 34th chapter, God is indicting the leaders of the nation of Israel for their failure to be true shepherds over God's people. And he will speak of the damage that has resulted from their failure as leaders and how God will hold them responsible for what they did to the sheep and what happened to the sheep because of their failure. But then God promises that though through their failure the nation of Israel was scattered throughout the world, that God himself would intervene on behalf of the people of Israel, and he would bring them back into the land. He would allow them to once again feed on the mountains of Israel, and that when he does, he will send the true shepherd, the good shepherd, that seed of David, who will actually be the shepherd over the house, who will feed them, and who will be all that God wanted the shepherds to be to the people. That is the literal understanding of this 34th chapter. But when you deal with the story in its literal form, you are also coming across basic principles that hold and cross the border into other areas. And so we will look first of all at this as a literal prophecy that has been, is being, and shall yet be fulfilled. Some of it has already come to pass. Some of it is presently coming to pass, and there is yet an aspect of it that shall yet come to pass. It hasn't yet been fulfilled. But as we look at it from its literal standpoint, we will also look at the principles that are involved that cross over into other areas of people who are in positions, more or less, of overseeing the flock of God. And thus unto ministers today, whose responsibility is that of overseeing the flock of God. So We see, first of all, God's indictment against these false shepherds. And his indictment is this: you feed yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? These false shepherds were in their position for their own benefit. They were living off of the flock of God. Yet, in reality, their true responsibility should be seeking the welfare of the flock of God rather than their own welfare. They should be seeking to benefit the people rather than being benefited by the people. The primary duty of the shepherd was to see that his flock was well fed. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he said, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That was the responsibility of the shepherd, to lead the sheep into the green pastures, to see that they had nourishment provided for them. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" When Peter responded, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," he said, "Take care of my sheep." Again, he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." And that's really the primary responsibility of the shepherd, to see that the sheep are well fed. Later, when Peter wrote to the elders, he said, "Feed the flock of God that is among you." Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that God has placed in the church pastor teachers. Now, the word pastor is the same word as shepherd. So he has placed in the church shepherds, teachers, whose purpose is to feed the flock of God. Actually, Paul speaks about the pastor teachers are there for the building up of the saints, the edifying of the saints, to bring them into a maturity, that they be no more like babes who are just tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and slight cunning of men who lie in wait to deceive, but actually might come into that full maturity in Christ Jesus through being fed the Word of God. But the Lord, in indictment against these false shepherds, said they ate the meat. They would kill the lambs and eat them, and they would feed off the lambs rather than feeding the lambs. And he said, "You clothe yourself with the wool." That is, they were fleecing the flock of God rather than feeding the flock of God. Tragically and unfortunately, there are wolves who prey upon the flock of God. And when they see a large congregation, they're more interested in fleecing the flock than they are feeding the flock. You can't believe some of the remarks that we have heard concerning our outreaches. Say they're in the Anaheim Stadium where we've got 53,000 people and we don't take an offering. They say, "Don't you realize, you know, 53,000 just passing the plate, you know, just with a, and they just can't understand our desire just to minister to people rather than to seek to be ministered to." Many ministries today have developed the art of fleecing the flock to a very sophisticated fine art. They have professional letter writers to compose the appeals. They use psychological ploys to touch the hearts of the victims. They have the latest computer equipment so that the letter appears to be personal And the name of the person is repeated through the letter. It's interesting. We used to get letters from some of these ministries addressed to Calvary Chapel, and it was, "Dear Mr. Chapel," you know, and all the way through. And now, Calvary, I know that, you know, you've been praying for us, but we need your support, you know, at this time. And the poor computer didn't know that Calvary Chapel wasn't the first and last name of a person. And it was almost humorous to read the letters that were composed by the computer. They have a group of people who just sit and try to dream up the next scheme for fleecing the flock. You know, let's send out a little pencil and pad and put, "Please write your prayer request on this, you know. God's laid you on my heart. I know you're going through difficulties. I don't know what it is. I need to know what it is so I can pray more personally for you. And so send on this little notepad that I sent to you in the enclosed envelope, you know. And don't forget, we're going through a severe crisis and we need your money at this time, you know. And send your seed faith money to us. And God will increase it. 50, write how much you want God to increase it, you know, how much you want from God. And then by faith, send to us, you know. And they've developed this art of fleecing. And here's God saying, you're taking the wool, you're fleecing them. The false shepherds really did everything but feed the flock of God. As God goes on to indict them, he said, "You didn't care for the sick among the flock. You did not bind up those that were broken. You did not seek those who were driven away. You did not seek those who were lost." You remember Jesus tells us the story of the good shepherd who had a flock of sheep, and when he counted them in the evening, there were 99, and shall not that shepherd go out and search over the hills and through the valleys and all until he finds that one lost sheep? And when he does, he comes back and says, "Rejoice, for I have found that which was lost." The heart of the good shepherd is not to allow any of the flock to stray or to become lost. But not so among them. They were too interested in themselves, and they weren't really interested in the flock. They ruled, the Lord said, with force and with cruelty. Now, Jesus said the heathen like to exercise this kind of authority over people, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be chief among you, let him become the servant of all. Lately, we've been receiving a rash of letters from people whose complaint is the way the pastors are beginning to lord over their flocks. They take the attitude, "If you cross me, you are really crossing the Lord." And they use their pulpits as a battering ram to destroy all of those who would oppose their ideas. But Jesus said that we are to be the servant of all. Now, as the consequence of these shepherds and their evil practices, the sheep were being scattered. And they had become a prey to all of the beasts of the field. The nation of Israel was taken captive, and they were scattered throughout the world, and people began to take advantage of them wherever they would go. The Assyrians and the Moabites, the Edomites, and God's people were scattered. In Ephesians 4, Paul said that the shepherd teachers, bringing the flock into full maturity, they would no longer become victims for every wind of doctrine and slight cunning of men who were lying in wait to deceive. My heart goes out to the people who are being deceived and fleeced by these so-called healing evangelists. When we were over in Israel last year I went over to baptize the king of Tonga and his wife in the Jordan River. There was a large group, 1,600 people, that had gone to Israel with one of these healing evangelists. Some 32 buses. And I was very interested in looking at the people to just see what kind of people would become prey to this man. Because he is a phony. And as I saw these people, my heart just broke in me as I knew they were being fleeced. And then when they had their big meetings, he would show up they would set up the TV cameras, he'd show up, and then they would fleece the people every time they'd get them together. They would plead for money and offerings from them. And it just broke my heart. This past week, I was back at the Billy Graham Conference Center. I was speaking back there at the Cove. And a lady came up and gave me a picture that she took of Capernaum, where I was with the king of Tonga, and he was sitting there, and I was beside him explaining to him the synagogue there at Capernaum. And she was among this group. And she said to me, "Tell me about," and she named the evangelist that she was with. She said, "Is he right on?" And I didn't answer for a while, because you don't like to speak evil of another man or his ministry, but she pressed the point. And I said, "No, he's not right on. The stories that he tells are not factual. And I just didn't want to say much more, but just to open her eyes, she says, "Oh, thank you, thank you. I needed to know that." She was one that I saw all these people. I prayed, "Lord, deliver them out of this wolf's hands." And so that was sort of an answer to prayer as she left. That, "Well, Lord, there's one little sheep that you delivered at least, you know, and deliver more." The result of these faithless shepherds was that the sheep wandered through all of the mountains. They had lost the sense of direction and purpose. Israel had lost its sense of national greatness because they were God's people. And so God then pronounced his judgment against the shepherds. And the worst thing that I can think of, God said, "I am against you." I would hate it for God to say, "I am against you." But that's exactly what God said concerning these false shepherds. And he was going to require the flock at their hand. The damage that was done to the flock, the scattering of the flock being destroyed by these predators, he was going to hold the shepherds responsible for the damage that had resulted from their failure to feed the flock, but rather feeding off the flock and fleecing the flock. He was holding them responsible for what happened to the sheep. And then he said, "I will deliver the flock out of your hand." Now, looking at this from a national standpoint, it's probably quite appropriate that we are discussing this particular chapter because basically the shepherds that God was addressing were the leaders of the nation. And in a few days, we are going to be electing new leadership for our nation. And God holds responsible those men who are in authority for the condition of the nation, those who have the responsibility of watching over and caring and protecting the sheep. If they are not diligent in their responsibility and the sheep become scattered, then God holds them responsible. We are looking at a nation that is in the midst of a moral crisis, a spiritual crisis, a monetary crisis, and God is going to hold the leadership responsible for the breakdown. Someday, those men who sit on the Supreme Court as the highest court of the nation, whose word becomes the law, they are going to sit in another court where they will have to answer for the decisions that they have made. They will have to answer for the millions of babies who never had a chance because of the decisions that they have made. They'll have to answer for the millions of rapes, divorces, and the breakdown of the moral structure of a nation because they opened the doors to the pornographers and others who would prey off of the lust of men's flesh. They think that they are the highest order, the Supreme Court, but the true Supreme Court is yet to call its session. And when it does, they will be the ones who will be guilty and have to answer for what they have done to the nation. And so God is indicting those leaders of the nation because of the moral breakdown, the spiritual breakdown, and how God's sheep actually were scattered as the result of the activities of the shepherds. Then God declares that because they had failed, that God himself would take up the duty of the shepherd. Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and I will seek them out." God will do what the shepherds failed to do in seeking those that were lost, in searching the mountains for those that were straying. And God said, "I will deliver them from all of the places where they have been scattered. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them in good pastures. I will feed my flock. I will seek that which was lost and bring it back again. I will bind that which is broken and strengthen that which was sick." Oh, how beautiful. God says, "You failed, but I won't fail." You know, man might fail you, but God will never fail you. And God says, "I'll do those things that should have been done by them." And God gathered the nation of Israel back into the land. God delivered them from those countries where they had been scattered. And God also said he would judge those that had abused the sheep. "And I will save my flock that they may no longer be prey." But then, and this is the glorious thing, God said, "I will put over them a shepherd, a true and faithful shepherd that will feed them, even my servant David, He shall feed them and be their shepherd. I'll put over them a true and faithful shepherd. And so we read in John chapter 10 where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ of the seed of David, standing before these people who had been gathered back in the land, who God had brought back into the land, he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. God had said that the unfaithful shepherds had eaten the fat, they had fleeced the flock and ultimately destroyed the flock, leaving them prey to all of the beast. But Jesus spoke of the hireling. He said, when the wolf comes, he runs because he really doesn't care for the sheep. He cares only for himself. And then God said, I will set one shepherd over them, Ezekiel. Jesus said, other flocks I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus is there alluding to this prophecy of Ezekiel and declaring that he is that one shepherd that God had promised. And then God said, and the Lord will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, is this God's word? Is this what God truly said? Is this the truth of God? It should be easy to prove. Did it come to pass or did it not come to pass? If it came to pass, then evidently it was God who spoke. Now, when Ezekiel was writing this, the first part had already happened. The Jews were already scattered throughout the world. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The news had come. Jerusalem is destroyed. And the people are being scattered at this very moment that he is writing. The people are being scattered. So you say, well, that doesn't take a prophet to declare that because it had already happened. Yes, but God's saying, and I will gather them and bring them back into the land and all. That had not happened, and that was yet future. And it seemed like a very unlikely thing at this point. And yet God brought them back and planted them in the land. And then God sent his only begotten Son of the seed of David, who declared, I am the good shepherd. But the people despised and rejected Jesus. The leaders of the people in those days led the people to crucify Jesus Christ. The scripture very obviously points out that it was the rulers, the spiritual rulers and leaders of the people that were the instigators behind putting Jesus to death. Because they were jealous of him. And they feared for their own position. They had been feeding off of the flock, even as the earlier leaders. They had made a corrupt practice as Jesus went into the temple and he saw the corrupt practices, how they were selling the sheep and the cattle and the doves within the temple precincts, how they were changing money and corrupting the people and the whole religious system. They were making a profit off of it. They would exchange the money for the temple shekel, but would charge huge rates of exchange, pocketing the difference themselves. And so Jesus was angered. He upset the money tables and he drove the cattle out, angry and upset that they would make his father's house a den of thieves. And he was a threat to them. And so they conspired to put him to death. But even in their putting him to death, they were fulfilling the prophecies that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, numbered with the transgressors in his death. But through his death, he would bear the sins of the world. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. And as a sacrificial lamb, he, as he said, laid down his life for the sheep. But this same Jesus, well, really, to follow the story through consecutively, after they destroyed, crucified the Good Shepherd, again, under the corrupt leadership, the people were destroyed and scattered throughout the whole world. And again, they were the prey. But God once more began to gather them back into the land. He began to seek them out. And he began to bring them back into the land of Israel. And the rebirth of the nation of Israel is one of the most significant prophecies, fulfilled prophecies in all of the Bible. And anyone who denies the place of Israel in prophecy has no understanding of prophecy at all. And here we see God once more becoming their shepherd to bring them back. But then what's the next event on the agenda? When he has brought them back, then he is going to send his servant David to be their shepherd, to rule over them. And that's the next event on the agenda. I'm glad we passed October 28th. Because I knew that he couldn't come that day. Because he said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. I hate that when people set dates, because that's one day I have to eliminate. So I wish, if you have a tendency to say, please don't. I live in the constant expectancy of the return of the Lord, the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to the prophecy being fulfilled that is not yet. You see, it's been fulfilled. They are back in the land. God has brought them back. They have been scattered. God's brought them back. And now the next event is the sending of the true shepherd, the one shepherd, to shepherd over the flock. And oh, how I long for that day. How desperate is the world and the conditions of the world. I see as the only hope for our nation. I don't see Clinton as the answer. Nor do I see Perot as the answer, though he is all ears. Now, he said that, so I'm only quoting. But I don't see Bush as the answer either. I see the only hope is for God's true shepherd to come and to rule. I really think that we've gone too far. And there's only one hope for us, for the world, for our nation. And that's for this final portion of the prophecy to be fulfilled as God will send his shepherd. Now Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. I call them and they respond. Are you one of his sheep? I hope so. It's so good to just be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because he is with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He feeds me. He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil, healing the wounds, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And what then? When I've come to the end of the days of my life, the days allotted to me by God, then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who wouldn't want a shepherd like that? You know, people are going to select a shepherd to rule over them, but oh, God help us. I don't know. Really, I'm in a dilemma. I know I should vote, and I'm going to vote, but with great intrepidation. Just been struck with an idea. Maybe I'll write in my candidate. Jesus Christ, oh, how I want him to rule. How I want him to rule. To rule in my heart and life today. To come and to rule over this nation. And to establish his kingdom and to rule over the world. How we need to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we pray. Father, as we look at your word, you have spoken it. And Lord, we see the confirmation in that you did it. You are doing it. And we have confidence that you shall complete it. And you will send again your servant David, our Lord Jesus Christ of the seed of David, to be the prince among us, to rule and to reign. But Lord, we open today our hearts, inviting him to come into our lives and to rule and to reign as prince, as king over us. As we gladly submit ourselves to the good shepherd who loves the sheep and lays down his life for the sheep. Lord, may your Holy Spirit do his work in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The Bible says some people put their trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will put our trust in the Lord. I don't know what you're trusting in today. Your bank account? Well, good luck. I hope your bank is solvent by the end of the year. Your trust in a political party? Good luck. Oh, how important to put your trust in the Lord. You see, he said, all that have come before me, they are thieves, they're robbers, and they only come to rip off, to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that you might have life. Do you have that more abundant life in Jesus? It comes when you allow him to become your shepherd. When you hear his call and you respond to his voice, he becomes your shepherd. He begins to care for you. He'll bind up the wounds. He will protect you from the predators. I would encourage you today to go back to the prayer room. Pastors and counselors will be back there to pray for you. You can know what it is today to have that sense of security, that sense of confidence, that peace of knowing he's watching over and he's going to take care of you. May the Lord be with you, watch and keep you in his love as the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ.